Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice. Well, thank you. I accept your welcoming. It's been nice since we got here. The trip was long and tiring, but we've made it. So, you know, praise God. And we got some sunshine. A little bit. As you guys were singing, I had a verse come to remembrance here. I want to go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. And what came to mind was verse 7, but I was going to read down through, starting at 1. The elders, which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now what came to mind, as I said, was verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that reminds me of another song that, you know, we're singing out there in Texas. You know, cast all your cares upon him. I mean, a great many people, whole bunch of folks, and I bet you there might be a couple in this room, seem to hang on to their troubles. They seem to hang on to that dead cat, right? Do you remember that sermon? Right? I mean, it makes me, when I see him coming, you know, it makes me kind of want to run away, because I don't want to hear it, you know? Like, oh shoot, here they come. But, I mean, they pull out that dead cat, and they tell you in this sad little voice, you know, you just don't understand. You don't know the troubles that I have. And it's like, look, folks, you know, if you go to the Lord with your troubles, he will take them away. Cast all your care upon him. He cares for you. Let's get rid of that trash, right? I mean, wouldn't you rather be with the Lord without the baggage than to have the baggage and not have the Lord? I mean, it's a choice that we have to make, right? He's redeemed each and every one of us through what he did. There's nothing that we have done that's too big for him. There's nothing that we can do to match him or surpass him. It is all about Jesus. Being a Christian, right? It's not about taking good people and making them better, right? Each and every one of us is a sinner. We're wretched. We're horrific. I mean, what he does is he covers that with his grace. He makes us acceptable. Without that, we're condemned, right? We're condemned to eternal hell. If we want the good things of God, we have to look to Him. We have to seek Him. And you have to come to the realization that Jesus died even for you. Even for you. I know in your head you can get these things like, oh man, it was just, whatever I did, it's so bad. I just need to hide that because it's, boy, if anybody knew, it'd be horrible. You know, it's like you're trying to hide it from God, which ain't possible. It's impossible. When you get to the point where you realize that what He did on the cross frees even you, and that you can move forward, and then you can actually be strong and of a good courage in Him, that you can believe and trust Him because He is good. He's not like anybody else on this earth. He is good. We are evil. When you get to that point, and you can begin to share that love of God with others, and you can show His strength, His love, His power to all the other folks out there, that gives them a choice to make. And when they can make that choice, rightly divide it, and choose Him, you can help them get free as well. Amen?
Good morning, everybody. I try to pull up the pulley. Spies Like Us. I think Chevy Chase passes gas and he turns and looks at the other person. I was trying to pull that with Mel. How loving, right? Look, praise God. And it's interesting on some of the things that Scott has talked about, because what was going through my mind this morning, what was hitting me was, you know, where Timothy, it says, you know, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And, you know, and you can look at, sometimes we might think that we're strong in that grace, but just by little examples in our lives and in our walk, we actually reject that grace because we don't think we deserve it. But the point is, we never deserved it. We could never deserve it. That's why He had to come down and do it for us. And just by that, and just by talking with people in the body and some of the situations that goes on, here's what happens, and I've done it many times. It's like, man, you screw up, you know, you mess up. Or a situation that happens, it's not even you, but it's just a terrible situation. And then God in His mercy comes down and He gives you a hand to get out of that mire, that clay, that situation. And you know what we do? No. I don't deserve it. It's like, well, duh. That's the whole point of being strong, that is, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, I can remember times where I've screwed up, and here's the hand of the Lord, and I'm going, and He comes and reaches down, I'm like, no, let me walk the green mile, cause you know, I deserve it. And then I go and talk to Steve. I'm like, yeah, so I just went ahead and said, go ahead and do that. And he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Hello, McFly. That's the grace of the Lord. That's His hand. That's His provision to get you out of that mire, because He loves you and He doesn't want you in it anymore. He wants you free from those things. And it's kind of funny. I'm going to talk about Kat a little bit here. And she had this little rough situation that happens. And I told her, you know, I said, you know, after she was baptized, you know, be more so for you to stand and the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And she had a little tumbling situation, but things worked out, praise God. And then not only worked out, it was going to be even the more the case. And she's telling me about, yeah, and also, you know, he was going to give me a raise and all this, but I said no. And I'm like, what are you doing? Just like Steve was telling me, what are you doing? See, that's the grace of the Lord. That's the grace of the Lord. He takes our absolute most messed up situations, whether we caused it or not. Most of the time it's us that causes these things, and it's our choices that wound us up in that situation. But see, when we turn unto the Lord, what does He do? He redeems the time. He redeems that time. And it's abundantly above we can ask or think. Why? It's a testimony of what He is able to do. It's a testimony for you to go carry out unto others. That others in the same situation can get out of that mire as well. I mean, isn't that the testimony of our Lord? Isn't that our testimony of what the Lord has done for us? I mean, if we look in our lives, I mean, as I could see, I mean, as I'm looking at the faces around, I see screwed up situation. I see screwed up situation. I see messed up situation. I see messed up situation. I'm pointing to myself as I'm pointing to others. And what happened? We turned, we repented, and the Lord took that and did far, far exceedingly above we can ask or think. And turn those situations on the foundation of a belief and trust in Him. And it's an amazing thing. Amazing grace. So as we go forward, now we know. Now we have that personal knowing of the gospel, of how good and awesome He is. Now what stops us from continuing to go in that? Unbelief. I mean, why did the children of Israel not enter into the promised land? Because of unbelief. Did not the Lord show up for them all those years? Deliver them out of bondage? Destroyed the enemy? Provided for them? And what they did not, they still chose not to believe. And see, we're in that same boat. Are we still going to choose to believe God? He's given us everything we need. He showed us His character and His nature. So when that grace of the Lord and He comes, man, don't reject it. Accept it. Receive it. Grow in it. And just how awesome He is. And if we just take that and go forth, people will know. People will have that opportunity. See, we're His body. We're not to take that talent that He's given us and hide it in the dirt. No, man. We're to take what He's done for us and carry that out so others may partake of His goodness. Let's go be that body that He's called us to be, and let's partake of that grace which He's given us. Amen? Amen.
You know, I can testify that we don't have a lot of good fetching up. None of us, and me included. Because we do have a tendency to want to hang on to those cares like they're trophies. Like they make us something. They make us stupid. It's what they make us. Hanging on to that stupid. It's just not smart at all. You sit here and, you know, Thursday night we talked a little bit about the provocation. Israel thought it was quite handy to have God call them his people. But that's where their liking of that ended. They didn't really appreciate his provision. They didn't want him around. They didn't appreciate his presence. And they didn't fear his power. Well, they saw his power in operation. And, you know, I sit there and remind myself that I'm acting like that many times myself. They wanted to hang on to those cares. They wanted to be able to weigh and measure and seek to justify themselves for what they already wanted to do and had determined to do. That's our nature. See, I'm sitting there wondering why it is Peter thinks that we, and you know, the Holy Ghost tells Peter to tell us to cast all these cares off on him. Because we have to be reminded of that. It isn't what we do naturally. If you want a trophy to take home the armor of God. Take home the armor that you stand able to fight. Take home understanding that obedience to God is you're in training to be able to be obedient to God. You're training to be his soldier. You're training to appreciate the big picture that he has. And we're sitting there singing that song, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. What exalts itself against the knowledge of God? Everything! Everything! Everything's set up to distract and destroy you and your knowledge of God through obedience of Christ Jesus. Your carnal nature, your old man wants to exalt itself above that knowledge of God. The world, the people in it, its systems, they all testify that they want to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. The enemy who comes but to kill, steal, and destroy wants to exalt himself above the knowledge of God. That's why you need to cast all your cares on him and trust on him and his worthiness. Because it's all, everything out there is against you until you appropriate the victory that is in Jesus Christ. You're going to be beaten down, abused, and battered. Ridden hard and put up wet. Gonna be ugly. Your people come around, they want to pretend like they don't have any cares. Shut that, please. The only time, and this is one thing that's true. The only time you don't have any cares is when you've done this. And when you have done this, all of the institutions that I have just mentioned are gonna not like you. They're going to say you're a hypocrite. You really haven't changed. You're still really holding on to all that stuff. They're not going to like you. But when you do that, you cast all your cares on him, you are free. Anybody in here want to be free? Yeah? It's a lot of hands. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. It matters to him. He has made a way for you. He was the God of Israel. Israel was his people, chosen. And they didn't want any of his power, presence, or provision. They preferred the bondage of Egypt. They were arrogant. He was long-suffering. He was patient. He was loving. He spoon-fed them. Through the desert, he was their water supply. Their shoes didn't wear out. Clothes didn't wear out. And in the end, they would have none of it. The polar opposite of cast all your cares on him is when you have rejected him and would prefer the bondage. What's up with that? Sometimes we are so much like Israel. We fancy ourselves be pleased to be called Christians, but then we won't do what he tells us to do. Won't obey him. Love God, love one another. Preach the word. Preach the word. He's good to you. He's good to me. He loves us. Cast all your cares on him. He cares for you. That's good news. Amen. I can proclaim that. That supersedes all the rest of that stuff. No, you're not worthy. Never will be. Cast all your cares on him. He loves you. He who would be religious, that might be offensive too. Sorry about that. You go ahead and walk away in your self-justification and you hang on to that. Not going to serve you well there in the end. But as for me and everybody who will hear me, cast all my cares on him because he cares for us. And we can know him. We can and should know his will. We can and should be obedient to that will. It's not that hard to do. It might war against your flesh. But it's simple. And loving God and loving one another is going out there preaching the word in its simplicity, in his love for us. That even while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Doesn't get any better than that. I don't have to worry about making myself good enough to be worthy of his love. He offered it before I could even fathom about needing it. It was offered to me. Cast all your cares on him and move on in him. Don't have to hang on to that stuff anymore. It's not worthy to be hung on to. It's not a decoration for your trophy shelf. It's dumb, D-U-M-B, stupid, to be hanging on to that stuff. You don't need to. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm done.